Live from the Average Joe Nation studios in St. Clair, Missouri. This is the Average Joe Podcast, a show that proves that in this crazy world, a combination of common sense and a C plus average is actually a superpower. Sure, he's crazy, but what if he's right? Please welcome your host, Damon Gilbert.
All right, it's Monday. And we are going to, or Sunday night, depending on where you listen to this, I'm going to post it on Sunday night. This is the week in review, as far as I see the news and so forth. So we're gonna jump right into it right quick. This is about 10, 11, 12, 12 stories I think you probably ought to be made aware of. First one is the Justice Department confirms the authenticity of the Hunter Biden laptop. Now, if you didn't see this, I tell you, I don't blame you, because it kind of made me throw up a little bit in my mouth while I was laughing my ass off, because, you know, this is big news story, I guess. And the Department of Justice should also be made aware. They'll probably come out tomorrow and say that the Union won the Civil War, too. I mean, come on. We knew this was authentic. The only reason you didn't do anything about it was because it was an election year. That's the only reason. So they're waiting until late in the game to confirm the authenticity of the Hunter Biden laptop. I don't know. That's kind of embarrassing to think that the Justice Department took this long to do this. I mean, it's so obvious what's going on. It really is. I think I could have confirmed the authenticity. They're saying that they matched up the cloud and all that. Oh, what, it took you 3 years to do that? This is how efficient and how politically inept, well, politically biased the Justice Department is in this country. We're just now confirming the authenticity of this thing, which was actually in their hands prior to the 2020 election. So, I don't know. I don't. You've got a degenerate son. I don't blame the Bidens not wanting people to know about what he's doing. And if it really didn't have anything to do with corruption within the White House and within, you know, in his father's orbit, I really wouldn't care. He gets arrested for a gun charge and drugs. Who cares? He has nothing to do with the government. The problem is Joe's involved in this. That's where it all comes down to. He's the big guy. And again, the Justice Department will do nothing about this because they're in the pocket of the Democrats. It's that simple. So I just thought that was interesting. Let's see. Number two, lawsuit reveals new details about January 6th shootings. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but it is coming more and more clear that Ashley Babbitt was assassinated. She was assassinated by a Michael Byrd, a black U.S. Capitol Police lieutenant. And the reason I say that is because the lawsuits stating they've actually obtained the actual radio traffic between the police officer and his dispatcher. And it says, within a minute after firing the fatal bullet that struck Ashley Babbitt on January 6, 2021, U.S. Capitol Police Lieutenant Michael Byrd broadcast a radio report claiming that shots were being fired at him in the speaker's lobby and that he was prepared to fire back. That's in total contradiction to what actually happened. He'd already fired back, but he said he was preparing to fire back, a federal lawsuit alleges. Aaron Babbitt, who is Ashley Babbitt's husband, is seeking $30 million from the U.S. government for wrongful death. Now, I'm not going to go into it in great depth because it's very interesting. If you want to look it up, it's an ongoing lawsuit. Yeah, she was assassinated. She was the only person who was killed on that particular day. And she was killed by a armed police officer who has actually gotten promoted over this. And you can't believe how they treated him right after this. They wanted him out of the limelight. He actually went to a hotel and stayed there for a month and a half. They wanted him out of the limelight. I think it cost the federal government $37,000 for him to stay there. And I think it's pretty telling of what really what took place that day. He has faced no scrutiny for this. No, nothing whatsoever. He actually got a promotion. So That right there is something to keep track of. It's pretty interesting stuff. I'm gonna keep my eye on that. Let's see. Number three, Trump's polls have skyrocketed after Iowa. Now, when I say skyrocketed, they've jumped a couple of points. This is national polling. National polling. He's doing really well. I think in New Hampshire, his margin will be much narrower than it was in Iowa. So get ready for that. And of course, Nikki Haley will, you know, she'll consider that a win, of course. But she's a lot of trouble. She's in a lot of trouble. We're going to go to South Carolina after that. And that's where she gets royally steamrolled, because I think he's up by 36 points in South Carolina. So I don't know why you would want to go back to your own hometown and get embarrassed. So there's a distinct possibility she may drop out after New Hampshire. I don't know. But she's just batshit crazy. So she may stay in. She may stay in. As a matter of fact, on another point here, let's see, where was it? I wrote this down. I do this. I make notes, and I have a hard time finding them. Somebody. Oh yeah, yeah. Crazy Nikki Haley is. She's either on meth, or she's not getting enough sleep. Have you seen her lately? She looks terrible. She looks like somebody ran her over. And I understand it's a tough road to hoe when you're out campaigning, but you can't, on the one hand, claim that a man who's 80 years old, and she's pointing the finger at Donald Trump when he's actually only 76 or 77. He's not quite 80 yet. And he looks better than you do. Yeah. So what's that tell me? Yeah. So what's that tell me? She's crazy. She's batshit crazy. She is. I don't know what she's doing here. And I believe the governor of New Hampshire is beginning to figure that out, because he's starting to back off on his predictions of what Nikki's going to do. And he was one of her staunch supporters. Apparently he's talked to her in the last couple of days and figured out this gal is completely off the reservation. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think she's probably going to continue. I really do. You may see her drop out after New Hampshire. She's smart. She will. That would be the biggest mistake of politically you could make, other than DeSantis running in 2024. Those two could be the worst of the worst. Now, whether or not this all takes place, I don't know. Now, DeSantis has decided to move on. See, the writing should be on the wall when that happens to any candidate in the race. You really shouldn't. Once it's apparent what's going to happen, you really need to bow out. You really do. Do your supporters a favor. Tell them to vote for Donald Trump. Just throw your support that way. You're not going to win. This is useless. When you have to skip a state and you have to fire half your, you know, get rid of all your staff in New Hampshire, and then your super PAC goes belly up, you're moving to South Carolina. Now you're counting penny. That's not going to work in a national campaign. Ron DeSantis is known around the country. He is. He's well-liked in Florida as a governor. But I don't think he's well-liked in Florida as a presidential candidate, because he's far behind Trump in polling. So these two idiots need to get out of this. They really do. They need to get out. We need to solidify as a party. Because if we don't, you do not want to go into the general election limping. You really don't. And a hard-fought fight in the primaries is not what you want to have if you're really interested in retaking the White House. And because here's the way I look at it, folks. Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis do not have the best interest of the American public at heart. They're there for themselves. They're there for ego. That's what this is all about. In order to get to this level, you have to have a massive ego. You really do. Nikki Haley has a lot of guts coming out and saying anything about Donald Trump. She's had two affairs. It's all documented. She made her husband change his first name. It makes no sense. She is a Hillary Clinton 2.0. She really is. And I don't want anything to do with her. Moving on. I read this today. Oil output. Now, this is oil output in the United States. This is domestic oil output. Has accelerated, reaching as high as 13.3 million barrels per day. Now, the reason I bring this up is the fact that, you know, Joe Biden, when he was campaigning in 2019, he was steadfastly behind the green movement, okay? They loved him. They still love him. They think he's doing the right thing. his mandate for electrical vehicles, EVs. They love that. They shutting down coal-fired electrical plants. They're all behind that. The problem is we're actually producing more domestic oil today than we did during the Trump administration. And during the Trump administration, the United States had become energy independent. We were actually an oil exporter at that point, which was great. It kept prices down. Gasoline was cheaper. I'm not saying cheap, but I mean, things weren't costing as much because of transportation, which in turn, it's a direct result of lower prices in the grocery store. But now we don't do that. Now, and I find it odd that we're actually producing more barrels of oil per day in the United States, and the price of gas is still $1.25 higher than it was under Donald Trump. I can't figure that one out. Do you know? Do you have any idea what that's all about? Because you would think if we're producing more oil than we were back in 2017, or even as late as, let's see, I think we, 2019, we produced 13 million barrels in November of 2019. That's as close as we got. But currently, we're producing well over that at 13.248 million barrels. That was in October of last year. Why isn't the price of gas down? I got to tell you a story. I remember meeting a fellow at the pump one day. This was back during the Obama administration. Gas was sky high. And I was working for UPS at the time. And no, I wasn't working for you. I was actually working for under the Bush administration. That's right. It was under the Bush administration. But nonetheless, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter who's in office. This all takes place. I was standing at the pump and I was pumping my gas. And I said, man, I said, shortage of fuel really affects the price. And the guy across the on the other side of the pump said to me, he goes, I spent 20 years in the oil fields down in Texas. He said, the only thing there's a shortage of is honest businessmen. And that always stuck in my head because I feel that's what we're seeing today. I really do. I don't know that the price is going to go up anymore. It'll probably fluctuate somewhere between 240 to 270. And maybe that is the correct price. I don't know. It's been several years ago. I just find that odd. Next story, Boeing had another bad weekend or a bad week. Their 747 engine caught on fire over Miami. Now, this was a cargo ship, a cargo plane. So it really wasn't, it didn't put a huge amount of lives in danger, but it could have if that plane had crashed. So Boeing's having a bad day. They've had some bad days here in the past. That hatch blowing off, that one plane going from what was it, somewhere on the West Coast, and the passengers having to ride with the door open. Yeah, that's a real sales pitch for your company. Boeing is definitely having a bad day. Let's see what else. Heritage Foundation. Now, if you know anything about the Heritage Foundation, they are a right-leaning institution, and they, I believe it was the president of the Heritage Foundation, appeared at the WEF last week, and he had the audacity to stand up there during a recent speech at the annual World Economic Forum meeting in Davos, Switzerland. The Heritage Foundation president, Dr. Kevin Roberts, scolded the unelected body, and I want to underline that word, unelected. These people are not elected to any office whatsoever. Yet, they have the audacity and the balls to try and tell me and you how to live, okay? So he scolded the unelected body for attempting to usurp the sovereignty of nations across the globe. Yeah, I thought that was great. Are we nearing an end to this woke thing? Are we? Because I'm reading articles that are saying that the new world order is saying, hey, we failed at this point. We're going to have to regroup because nobody's buying into this stuff. They're not. I really don't think they are. It says, he went on to say, the very reason I'm here at Davos is to explain to many people in the room and who are watching, with all due respect, nothing personal, that you're part of the problem. He told the group of globalists. Political elites tell the average person that the reality is X, when in fact, the reality is Y. He says, a moderator asked Roberts what he thought about the WEF standing up for the liberal democracy, and he responded, it's laughable that you or anyone would describe Davos as protecting liberal democracy. He continues saying, elites tell us that open borders and even illegal immigration are okay. The average person tells us in the United States that both rob them of the American way of life. Elites also tell us public safety isn't a problem in big cities. He says, just travel to New York or Washington or Dallas, Texas. The average person will tell you the lack of public safety damages not only the American way of life, but their life. I love this. I'm going to go on. Now, these are quotes. Elites tell us we have this existential crisis with so-called climate change. The solutions, the average person knows, cost more human lives, especially in Europe, during the time that you need heating, than do the problems themselves, he added. Next, Dr. Roberts criticized the globalist group for cozying up to China when it is the number one adversary to free people on planet Earth. I can't even believe they let this guy go in here and say that. You haven't seen the faces on these people that were sitting in the crowd. It was hilarious. It really was. Their jaws dropped. They were like, who let this guy on stage? Yeah. Well, he's 100% right. He is 100% right. And I was glad to see somebody call these idiots out. Because again, I hate to repeat myself, but they are unelected officials. They just walked in. Bill Gates never been elected to anything in his life. Yeah. Klaus Schwab has never been elected to anything. They just dreamt this organization up. It's kind of like Bilderberg. Yeah. So anyway, I was glad to see that. Maybe the pendulum's starting to swing back a little bit. Maybe the elite are a little more scared of us than we thought. Maybe they decided, hey, these people are not going to take this. At least a portion of them aren't. I'm not saying that there aren't people you know and I know that'll walk lockstep in this. But I'm not one of them. Next story. China's stocks hit rock bottom. China's stocks hit rock bottom after $6.3 trillion market loss. Brokers had to suspend short selling. People have been saying for years that China is a paper tiger, and I tend to agree with that because their real estate market has just absolutely imploded. They're building buildings that no one's ever going to live in. They actually build cities where no one lives just to try and prop up their economy so that they can show that they're better than the United States. The Communist Party in China is on its way out, as far as I'm concerned. Eventually, there will be a day of reckoning. There really will. This could be the start of it. You can't lose $6.3 trillion and it not affect somebody. And somebody's standing up going, hey, what's going on here? I think the pendulum's, like I said, starting to swing back the other way. Let's see here. Apparently, and I don't know if you're aware of this, last year, the IRS was going to start implementing in 2023 a 1099-K form for side gigs. Now, what I mean by that is, let's say you mow someone's grass and they pay you with a Venmo or a Cash App of some kind. You are supposed to report that as income. Say you sell a lawnmower to a neighbor and you make a few bucks on it. You're supposed to report that to the IRS. Well, most of the transactions on Venmo and Cash App are actually like you and a friend go out to lunch. The friend pays for lunch. You go ahead and send them half of the bill through their Venmo. That's basically what most of these transactions are. So the IRS was kind of in a tough spot, because they didn't know how they were going to differentiate between the two. So they suspended that for 2023. Now in 2024, they've decided to bring it back. Now, originally it was going to be for $600 or more. Anything over $600, you had to report as income, if it in fact was income. Well, they've decided to to change that. And that's going to be $5,000. But they're still going to be going after these side gigs because the IRS hates nothing more than somebody making a few bucks on the side that's not taxed. That's what they hate. And this is part of that 87, Build Back Better bill that the Democrats pushed through and the Republicans signed at the behest of the Biden administration. And within that, they hired 87,000, or they're in the process of hiring 87,000 more IRS agents to go after what they said were the rich people of the world, the millionaires. And that's not true. They're going to come after you and me. We all knew that. That's a total lie. So this is the beginning of it right here. So starting this year, I keep forgetting what year it is. Starting this year, you're going to, if you make any kind of money on the side with a cash app, you are going to have to report that as income. My advice, we go back to the cash system. That's my advice. Everybody should start carrying around more cash. Tip your waitresses in cash. That way they don't have to pay taxes on that. Any kind of side gig you do, I mean, someone, grooms your dog, pay them cash. That's my advice. Go out of your way to do this, because if you don't, it will come back to haunt you. It will. Eventually, it will happen to you. We need to start operating on a cash basis again. This digital currency that we're using, I know, and I do it just as much as the next guy. I don't walk around with hundreds of dollars in my pocket. I don't do that. But there is a time and a place for it. If you just want to go up to the grocery store and buy something, you can do it with a card. But if you've got a friend or someone who does work for you on the side, pay them in cash. That's the easiest way to get around this. If you go to an event and you want a hot dog, or you want a hamburger, or you want a soda, or whatever, if it's from a vendor, pay them in cash, okay? Because we need to circumvent the IRS the best we can. That's just my thought on it. Let's see. Oh, yes. Here's a good one. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but the FBI released the other day that they have logged over 47,000 attempts by illegal aliens to purchase firearms at gun shops in the past 25 years. 47,000 attempts. That's amazing. And apparently, in every one of those attempts, they were foiled by the process that we currently have in place for the purchase of a firearm. So the illegal aliens were unable to get a firearm legally. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't go out and buy one off the street, but that can happen anytime. So when it comes to gun control, it apparently is working to some degree. Because people who should not have the guns and are not supposed to have the guns don't get them. I just think it's amazing that they were 47,000. They actually keep track of this. Illegals. But if you talk to the Democratic administration, the Biden administration, they'll tell you there is no problem with illegal immigration. But I think we do have one. This points right at it. 47,000 attempts. My God, unbelievable. Next story. Sports Illustrated lays off 70% of its workforce. Now, this is a very interesting story. It's got a couple of different angles to it. One is that if you go woke, you go broke. And Sports Illustrated is a great example of that. When you go from having, you know, gorgeous women on your cover to having morbidly obese women on your cover. Now, mind you, both of them are in swimwear. You've made a conscious decision to go one direction or the other. And Sports Illustrated decided to go the way of the woke. We're going to show the Lizzos of the world on your cover and try and convince male Americans, guys in their age, you know, between the ages of 18 and 35, that this is attractive, when we all know it's not. It's not only not attractive, it's unhealthy. It's just not a good idea. It's not to try and convince me that You're trying to convince me that the sky is green. It's not going to work. We all know what's attractive. That's why you have scantily clad women on the covers of magazines, so that people will be attracted to it. Sports Illustrated used to be, you know what you would have when I was a kid? Sports Illustrated would have an athlete on the cover. So they've made that decision at some point to make sex, I guess, a selling point, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. But when it says Sports Illustrated, it should be about sports the way I look at it. But nonetheless, something's happened. There was a downturn. When did that start? Well, there's where the second part of this comes in. Magazines and newspapers are a thing of the past. No one gets their information from there anymore, for the most part. I remember when I was a kid, you'd walk down the aisle at your, you know, your like a Walmart back in its early days. There would be an aisle with on two sides of the aisle full of nothing but magazines, newspapers, periodicals. It was amazing. You could walk down through there and see everything. It was a great time. It really was, because you could actually take it. It was like having your, all the information in this one place you could go to. And I mean, you had Newsweek, you had Time, Wall Street Journal was usually there, your local papers, all kinds of stuff. You remember that if you're over 50. Hell, even if you're over 40, you probably remember it to some degree. But that's gone away. That's gone the way of the dodo bird and the spittoon. It just doesn't exist anymore. So that's the other prong of this two-pronged approach. One is they went woke. The other one is that their industry is dying. And I feel sorry for these people that work for Sports Illustrated. I really do. Because it was unexpected. There was no warning whatsoever. I think they just showed up one morning and said, hey, by the way, you're all gone. You're all fired. You're all laid off. Yeah, I guess they got some severance pay to some degree. But imagine being thrown out on the street and having to walk to your car going, what am I going to do next? This is all I know. Where am I going to go? You're going to have to make some adjustments pretty quick. You really are. But if you look back at the Victoria's Secret, they learned a lesson. They've decided not to use transgenders and fat women as models. They brought back the angels. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Now, they may survive that. They had a tremendous downturn in business. Victoria's Secret did. I mean, their business tanked for several months. But the thing is, they had more than one product to offer. And they offered the product the way they used to, and then they promoted it with the new idea of the heavier women, and that didn't work. So now they can do away with the heavier women and go back to the way they were doing it. Sports Illustrated can't do that. You can't have two people on the cover at the same time, because then it would look like you're making a comparison. If you had a scantily clad, good-looking, great-shaped woman on one side and an obese one on the other side, the left's going to go crazy. The woke group's going to go crazy, because they're going to say, well, you're comparing the two. Yeah, see, that didn't work. And newsprint is dead. It just is. No one gets their information from that anymore. I mean, I still get one newspaper, the Epoch Times, which is great, because I won't go into that, but I do get one newspaper. I get no magazines to speak of. I used to get several of them. You probably the same way. So interesting. Let's see now. Oh, Oklahoma has put forward a bill. I thought this was hilarious. I think this is for comedy reasons and to make a point, but I don't know if you know what furries are. They're kids in school who dress up like animals and they allow it, which I find they're identifying as an animal. It's either a cat or a dog or whatever. It's ridiculous. So Oklahoma decided to pass a bill that says furries need to be picked up by either their parents or animal control. And I know it's kind of funny. It's never going to pass. I think it was made for political, for comedy relief. I just thought it was funny. I saw that and I thought, yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah, it probably. I mean, if you had a dog there, what would you do? What would you do? Would you put him on the bus? Of course not. You call the dog catcher or animal control. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. So moving on to the next one, Uvalde, Texas. I don't know if you've seen this, but apparently there was a grand jury seated Friday Now, this would have been the 19th, to consider criminal charges being filed against officers in the Uvalde school shooting. Now, there were over 300 of them. Now, mind you, there were 19 children killed and two teachers. And apparently the police, and you probably know this story to some degree, stood out front of the building for, 70 minutes before they even went in? And I got to tell you, folks, if I'd have been there, we would have gone in. I would not have been able to stand there and listen to children being killed at that point. I don't know. These are absolutely ballless police officers. I absolutely a dereliction of duty. These people were the biggest cowards to ever walk the face of the planet. And I don't care what your boss says, okay? If there are children being shot and you know it, why else would a shooter be in a school? I mean, it's not like we're waiting to see what he decides to do. You knew what he was there to do. And yet they stood outside talking, laughing, looking at their cell phones. I've seen the video. These guys should all be in jail in my book. Every one of them, including the people, especially the people in charge. Especially those. I'd have been there. I'd have gone in. And I can tell you, most of the men listening to this right now would have done the same damn thing. So to say that they're not at fault is ridiculous. And all you hear from the left is, oh, the AR-15s, what caused this? The AR-15. No, it wasn't. It was a lack of balls is what it was. That's exactly what it was. No guts, nothing. A bunch of cowards. These police officers are a disgrace to their uniform in my book. That you did not even go in and make an attempt to help these children. There's no excuse for that. There's none whatsoever. I get a little violent about that. I get pretty worked up because when I saw this originally, I was absolutely livid. I wanted these people in chains over this. And no one's paid it. No one's paid any kind of price for this. Absolute cowards. And I hope I'm being as clear as I possibly can. I consider these men, these individuals, and there may have been some women involved, these men to be absolute, outright cowards and nothing else. And then we move on to the events as far as warfare around the world, the conflicts. We're still shooting at the Houthis in Yemen. We're in a conflict with them. Conflict, I say that we're actually at war with them, by the way. It's a proxy war with Iran. So make sure you get that straight if you're ever talking about it. It's a war. It's a war. Anytime you use cruise missiles on somebody, it's a war. And then they're shot from your own ships. It's a war. If you use submarines or F-18s to bomb somebody, it's a war. Don't let anybody kid you. It's like Russia calling it a special military operation when they invaded Ukraine. And there, that particular thing right now, they're saying right now, and now we're talking about Ukraine and Russia. Zelensky's the biggest con man I've ever seen. He is a outright fraud. He is a lunatic. He's going to go the way I don't know where he's going to end up. He's probably going to end up in Italy in a house that he bought with the money that we sent over there, or in Florida. I'm not sure. I heard he bought one down in Tampa. I could be wrong, but nonetheless, the Russians have won this conflict. When you have to send 14-year-olds and 70-year-old men in to fight your battle, and that's what Ukraine's doing right now. The Russians are finding they're capturing people who as old as 70 years old. You've lost the battle. And when people say that we have there have not been any, I think Lindsey Graham's the one that says it. He acts like it's the money we're sending them. It's well worth it. It's a low price to pay for no troops on the ground. We've actually lost 500 Americans over there. Don't let anybody kid you. They've lost 500. Whether they were working for contractors or they were on some black op, I don't know. But they average it out to about 500 Americans have died over there. So you've got that going on. You've got the Houthis. You've got we've got issues in Iraq. We've got Syria still involved. You've got Israel and Hamas. Now we're fighting Hezbollah. Yeah, it never ends. It never ends. And I've talked about this before. It's just a failure in foreign policy. It's that simple. So all that's been going on this week as well. So that pretty much brings you up to date on what happened this week. If you didn't know any of this, I'm glad that I was able to bring it to you. That's all I got today. And we will talk again tomorrow, hopefully. And thank you for listening. And we will see you tomorrow. Joe Biden is the worst president in American history. Let's go, Brandon.
As always, thanks for listening to the Average Joe podcast. Be sure to check out our website at www.averagejoenation.media and follow us on social media. Remember, if you haven't told all your friends, you're wrong.